Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting to order, and I'd like to recognize the secretary for the roll call.
Chair Evans.
Here.
Vice Chair Crawford.
Here.
Vice Chair Smedberg.
Here.
Director Horner.
Here.
Director Price.
Present.
Director Goldman.
Present.
Director Dorsey.
Here.
Director McMillan.
Here.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. First item in the agenda is the adoption of the agenda. I would like to move approval of the agenda with one change to remove committee nominations as the board is not ready to move forward on those items. So I'd like to move the agenda with that change. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for May 23rd, 2019 board meeting and May 23rd, 2019 executive session. I'd like to move approval of the minutes. Is there a second? Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the employee spotlight. Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. For this month's spotlight, I actually wanted read a letter that we got from a customer, if I could. It starts off with, I would like to acknowledge station manager Grady Wells at 12th and G Metro Station. Mr. Wells, if you could stand. A year ago, on Monday, June 11th, 2018, I entered Metro Center Station as usual from our ride home. I get on at Metro Center around 6 p.m., transfer, and continue my ride home on the Green Line. This is the last thing I remember. When I woke up in the hospital, almost 2 weeks had passed. I was in the hospital for a month. I had to rely on family and friends to recreate what happened. I was to learn that I went into cardiac arrest in the station, and if not for station manager Grady Wells' first response, I would not be here. I do not know how many times Mr. Wells assisted in the resuscitating me, but I was resuscitated four times by the time I made it to the hospital. I returned to work 2 months later. One day, a Metro worker came into the store and asked my manager how I was doing. I don't know how he knew where I worked, but we assist many Metro employees in our store. I was called out of the back, and I immediately knew this was the person who saved my life. I was speechless and so overwhelmed. I had a million questions, but I only asked one. What was his name? What was his name? Everything else was irrelevant. I still have questions, but I'm very grateful for his quick action. I owe everything to Mr. Grady Wells. There are a lot of negative things said about Metro. It is your employees that can make the difference and certainly did in my life. Please acknowledge Grady Wells and appreciate what he has done for I am forever grateful to him. Thank you, Mr. Wells.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is our public comment. We have two individuals. First, Barbara Summers. Ms. Summers. Ms. Summers, welcome to the Metro Board meeting. Good morning.
I'm commenting about when I entered the trains, they're closing the doors up on me. So I want to know, I thought the policy was that the train operator has to look down the platform before closing the doors. Hello?
Okay. Mr. Wiedefeld? He stepped out. Okay. Ms. Summers, thank you for bringing those comments forward. I'll ask the general manager if he can respond to you. Is Joe Lieber here? All right, Joe, do you want to?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you come up, Joe, and afterwards you can respond. Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Summers. Okay, our next individual, Bill Orleans. Mr. Orleans. Welcome to the Metro Board.
Yes, welcome. I just left, as did all here, meeting of the Ethics Committee, and where it was discussed that in the future, the board and that committee would be more transparent in its reporting of, in its responding to any questions raised about members of the board and in reporting to the public the results of its conversations. It strikes me as odd, much of what this board has done over the years that I've known it has struck me as odd, but in that same Ethics Committee meeting, it approved 4 minutes in executive session dating back to March, each of which was dealing, I presume, with the question that has been most recently preoccupying the time of the Ethics Committee. It's an old argument, I don't buy it, but that boards, councils, the leading bodies of whatever entity exists must have time where it can communicate in executive session amongst itself to deal with controversial or problematic subject matter. I don't agree with that, but so be it. But if a board or a committee of a board wants to be transparent, then it should not just meet and discuss in private and then report that the minutes of that private discussion have been approved. It should report more fully to its interest base, which is the ridership. Everybody living in the transit zone and visiting to it is ridership most particularly. And I would suggest that all such communications between and among members of the Ethics Committee, including those 4 meetings, the minutes of which were approved this morning, should be made public. All such communications among the members of the Ethics Committee over the course of the last several months when there's been a problematic question before it, including communications with the law firm that was retained to do a report to the board, should be made public, and it should be made public sooner than later. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, our next item on the agenda is the report by the Accessory Advisory Committee. Mr. Posner?
Michael Syndrome, public comment. I'd like to speak, please.
Mr. Posner?
Michael Syndrome, public comment. I'd like to speak, please. You keep changing the times here from 10 to 11, making it hard on us.
Is Mr. Posner here or not?
No, Michael Syndrome.
Is there anybody from the Accessory Advisory Committee? Oh, here he is. Come on up, Mr. Posner.
Don't do it again, Jack. Don't do it, Jack. Not again.
Welcome to the Metro Board, Mr.
Good morning. I'd like to start out by thanking Ms. Dorsey for joining me on a Metro Access ride and a rail ride, and we had a really nice trip. And Mr. Riedefeld for joining Elver Ariza on his trip on bus and rail. And I'd like to extend the invitation to anybody on the new board starting in July to join any one of us on any one of the Metro vehicles to see what's going on. There's an interesting proposal of changing the intercar barriers on the new 7,000, 8,000. We know we've just been through the clamshell moving back to the chains. And our committee was asked to take a look at a pantograph style intercar barrier, which is something that's being considered. And we were delighted to go out to look at it. I mean, it's really beautiful. Hopefully you've all gotten a chance to see the pictures of it, but basically it's a clamshell that kisses. They're actually touching each other. And then there's a pantograph barrier on the outside of that that protects you from getting in there. And vision people can use their canes, and we'll see what's going on. It received a very positive review from the people of our committee that went out and took a look at it, and we really appreciate WMATA taking the next step to do that. It will solve two problems, one for the disability community and also for WMATA staff, because we are aware of the reason that the clamshells were originally taken, with the use of chains and the potential for shorts and electrical issues. So kudos for doing that. The yellow-blue platforms, currently moving forward, I have gotten a number of calls from the media asking whether we're being really challenged by the platforms, and I've been happy to tell them, well, so far we haven't had any negative input from the disability community. Now, we're not delighted, but I say that we're running into the same problems as everybody else is, and that is weather, traffic, buses, route changes, and what have you. But considering that, the disability community is being handled very, very nicely. And kudos on that. Something that came up on the yellow-blue platform work, we met with the IT staff from WMATA and talked about how they're currently doing fare calculations. And we asked, well, typically the Metro Access fare calculation is twice the fastest route. And obviously, the four stations south of the airport are no longer the fastest route. And so we asked them, had they changed the fare calculator and taken that into account so that we're now dealing with bus calculations rather than rail or rail and bus. And they're going to get back to us on that. They didn't know. And that sort of led into the next thing. The board has received a letter from the Accessibility Advisory Committee with three motions that we passed regarding fare policy and efficiency. Because things that have happened in efficiency is the current arrival time efficiency has fallen below 90% again. And part of that is due to scheduling. Part of that has been shortage of drivers. But in an effort to deal with that, plus the fare calculation issue has become incredibly complicated, we sent you some suggestions that we would hope that Mr. Wiedelfeld will pass on and do the calculation and see what the numbers are. Right now, as of the last calculation, 56% of all Metro Access trips pay the minimum $4 ride. 36% pay the $6.50 maximum ride. And so doing a weighted average of that, the mean fare is $4.95. Those are the numbers that are given to us by WMATA at our monthly meetings. Looking at that and looking at the difficulty that we have every month when passengers come in and don't understand why they pay $4 to go to a place and $6.50 to come home, or they pay one price one day and a different price a different day. We're now at a point where we're pretty close to where we were in the early calculations, which FTA recommended, which is twice the lowest fare. And if you remember, the older members of the board, twice the oldest fare was changed because the lowest fare was $1 on the bus. And so twice that was $2, and that was not sustainable. But at this point, with the bus fare being $2, twice that would be $4. And since the mean fare is $4.95, that's pretty close. And so what we are requesting is that WMATA crunch the numbers. You have better calculators than we do. You have better formula for doing this. My quick and dirty came out that if we did a $4 flat fare, it would cost WMATA about $2 million in fare box recovery. I remind the board that when the peak of the peak was removed, because that was too complicated for visitors, that gave up $15 million. So $2 million is a little less than $15 million. If we set the fare at $4.50, it's pretty close to break even. At $4.95, there's actually a profit for WMATA. And so what we're asking staff to do is to go ahead and crunch the numbers with their better calculators than we have. We have the numbers through March. You have the numbers for the last 2 years that you can look at and consider a flat fare and a reasonable number. The other thing that we talked about was to enhance efficiency. If you go to a flat fare, you save the money you're currently paying for the fare calculator. You're also saving the money of having the reservation have to go through, reservationists have to go through the fare calculation in order to give that to the passenger. You're making it easier for the passenger to plan what's going on. The other thing we have suggested is having some reduction in fares for subscription trips. The idea of the subscription trip is it's a regular trip that occurs 2 times a week, 3 times a week, 5 times a week. If that happens, the scheduling people have the numbers in advance, and they have the ability to efficiently schedule the rides. Mr. Dorsey knows, we talked about our ride, which went from Virginia Square up to Capitol Hill. And we had one other person on the boat, on the van. And so we didn't have to stop and pick people up along the way. We all went in a straight line. And so having subscription trips are something that's going to really help WMATA to do their scheduling. WMATA staff agrees with that, and they're in favor of that. And in order to move towards that, why not a little carrot for the Metro Access rider? Now, if you come back with a $4 flat fare, I don't think we'd ask for another carrot. But if you come back with a $4.50 fare flat, we might ask for a $4.25 carrot or $4 carrot for a subscription trip. In addition to that, Metro Access, effective July the 1st, is doing a bunch of really neat changes to scheduling that's going to, one, help the rider and really help WMATA, and that is changing the window for making the schedule, shortening the speaking time with the reservationist to get the appropriate ride, and one of the biggest, most of our working people book a ride by arrival time. And what happens is, to make sure that they arrive on time, quite often they're getting up at 5 in the morning. And on occasion, they show up before the building is open. And so we are now getting promise to not get people to their place of business or their arrival place at the dialysis center, the beauty parlor, or the movie, more than 30 minutes ahead of time that's requested. And so those are all really great things that are going on. So it's been a really good month for us. We've thrown out a lot of things for you guys to think about, and hopefully on July 1st, we'll start moving ahead. And now that Mr. Bulger is here, he's one of the best number crunchers I know. He always holds my feet to the fire. and I'm sure he will come up with some good numbers to help everybody along. So thank you all very much, and look forward to seeing you in July.
Thank you very much, Mr. Posner. Are there any questions for Mr. Posner?
Just a quick comment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Posner, for allowing me to see a window into a world that I had not yet. It was very helpful in informing my view as a board member. I will say the fair suggestions that you had, without any comment on the particular desirability of any of the specific proposals, it is an area of work that I do think the Finance Committee, in conjunction with Safety and Operations, really should engage in, not just on the access side, but the tariff structure across the whole authority. Hopefully we'll be doing that next year.
Thank you, Mr. Posner. Thank you very much for your
report. Thank you very much.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Riders Advisory Council. That's Mr. Dorsey.
Yep. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to yield my time for a brief report from Andrew Kyrig, Vice Chair of the REC.
Welcome to the Metro Board.
Thank you, Chairman Dorsey. My name is Andrew Kyrig. I am the Vice Chair of the Riders Advisory Council for the Commonwealth of Virginia. As you all saw in our report, at our previous meeting, at our most recent meeting, we had a lovely discussion with Catherine Vanderwart from the, who is the Fair Economist, I believe is her title, and we discussed the outcome of the cash-free pilot along Route 79. As you all are also aware, going cash-free didn't have much impact on the overall travel time of that particular route. And we were grateful that the pilot will be discontinued, because members of the Riders Advisory Council have expressed ongoing concerns about what going cash-free might mean for those lower-income riders, especially those who are unbanked. One thing that did emerge was, as you all are no doubt aware from the stabilizing Metro ridership report that came out last May 2018, I should say, bus ridership is correlated to bus speed. And one thing that could possibly help increase bus speeds is going to all-door boarding. All-door boarding is a very cheap way of speeding up buses. It doesn't involve constructing bus lanes, which perhaps, unfortunately, WMATA doesn't have the authority to do. And as noted in the study that I cited in the report this month from San Francisco, going to all-door boarding actually had a positive effect, not just on ridership and overall bus travel times, but also on revenue and fare box recovery. Their rate of fare evasion went down 1.6%, and they did see a net revenue gain of 1.9%. The pilot also revealed that many individuals are unaware that you can reload your SmartTrip card at retail outlets. CVS, Giant stores, Safeway are just some examples. And that also is not something that's really easy to find on the WMATA website. If you're looking for a listing or a search function, it takes a number of clicks, and it's not really an intuitive process. It really highlighted some of the ongoing communication issues that I raised, for example, at our May meeting, and many others have raised in previous meetings. And generally, the feeling is that we need more communication, we need better communication, and we need consistent communication. If you look at something like the Metro Rail Info or the Metro Bus Info teams that work on Twitter, they do a great job, but they're only reaching, you know, I would estimate maybe 20% of WMATA riders. Not even that. I'm assuming 20% or so have Twitter. And then how many folks are aware of those two accounts that can provide real-time information and do a great job doing so? And updates on major projects, for example, the DuPont or Farragut North cooling system repair projects. I appreciate the update that we got from Adam Tuss of NBC, but we don't think that these updates should come through the media. They should come from WMATA. And putting this information on ongoing station projects like DuPont or Farragut North on the station pages would be helpful. As part of our discussion about consistent and thorough communication, putting updates on these projects on the station pages would be one way of effectively doing this. We would like an update, a thorough and comprehensive update on the status of the Farragut North and DuPont chiller repair project. If anyone of you all have been through either of those two stations lately, say in the middle of the afternoon, as I was the other day, you know it's quite miserable. And the fans aren't doing a lot to provide any sort of cooling. They're helpful, but they're no replacement for actual functioning air conditioning. And we would like to know what the reasoning behind the abrupt reversal on automatic train operation was. As you all are aware, in October of 2018, General Manager Wiedefeld did make a statement to, I believe it was also Adam Tuss, saying that you know, automatic train operation would be coming back by the end of this year. And so that kind of sudden reversal caught many of us by surprise. I know there was, and this was mentioned at the May meeting, I believe, that there is a consultant's report, and releasing that report could be an effective way of, addressing those questions that we have. We would like a timeline, if possible, for the rollout of automatic door operation on lines, on the non-red lines. As announced on, I believe it was Mondays when the blue, orange, silver study was announced, we're happy to be engaged however we can. If you all want to volunteer, I'm right here. The Riders Advisory Council is happy to engage on these projects and be helpful wherever we can. We want to play a constructive and positive role in the ongoing back to good work that has been done, and we're ready to go beyond back to good. Let's get to great. Happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you very much for your report. Any questions?
Looks like Mr. Goldman.
Sir, could you just address how, when there's rear door boarding, the passenger pays his fare or her fare?
I'm sorry?
When you have rear door boarding, when you have all door boarding,
right?
How does the passenger pay his or her fare?
Well, in
San Francisco experience.
In San Francisco and in many other cities where all door boarding is you know, standard practice, they install a smart trip reader by the back door. In many other cities, I used to live in Austria, for example, the major cities in Austria all use proof of payment systems, so you have random checks, and they have about the same level of fare evasion, or actually less, come to think of it, when I looked it up a couple weeks ago. Vienna has, I believe, 7 or 8% fare evasion, a 7 or 8% rate. And so in these other cities that do proof of payment, they're also, you know, they've also achieved a lower rate of fare evasion. But the standard practice, I think, where you do have rear door boarding and upfront payment is just to install a smart trip reader.
And if you had a smart trip reader, that would necessitate that the passenger using it has a smart trip card.
Right.
So that sort of runs counter to your concern in your first part of your presentation on going to cash free, because those people would
mixed systems, Mr. Goldman, just to address your concern, since I've worked on this a lot. People with cash would board at the front. People with smart trips would board at the back. That's the way it would
work. That's what I'm trying to understand, if that's the proposal from the RAC. Thank you, sir.
Of course. Okay, any further questions, comments? Okay, thank you very much for your report.
Thank you, Mr. Owen.
Okay, next item on the agenda is a report by the chair. Two items. First of all, Metro will begin on-demand transportation program for late-night commuters on July 1st. This goes back to the late-night service issues that we have on an ongoing basis here at Metro. Since we have made the decision to close earlier than we usually have, there are a lot of people, particularly in the hospitality industry, et cetera, who don't have a way home. So Metro will be beginning this on-demand transportation program on July 1st. Opportunity to restore late night service again will come up next July 1st. And in October, I suspect of this year, there will be the debate as to whether or not we should go back to the original late hours or continue to have the shorter hours. Secondly, Metro's preliminary service information for the July 4th holiday has been released, and our general manager will have further information. July 4th this year will be a little bit different because of the federal government's different approach to the July 4th celebration. Metro will be a key component in providing transportation, bus, and rail for individuals attending the July 4th celebration. So it's going to be a little different, a little more hectic, but Metro stands ready to do all it can to assist in that event to take place next week. So with that, that's the end of my report. I'd like to now recognize the general manager for his report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the Washington region starts to focus more on summer vacation plans and less on Metro, I'd like to highlight some of the good news that may not have crossed our customers' radar or made news recently. First, average weekday rail ridership was up for four consecutive months in February, March, April, and May, 3% over the same period last year. In May, this included a 7% ridership bump on weekends, with an average Saturday ridership up 9% compared to last year. Bear in mind, we had six stations closed during the last week of May, and these ridership numbers were not adjusted based on those closures. So that's very good news. We know that the main driver of ridership is our performance, and more than 91% of all rush hour trips have arrived on time since the start of the year. Railcar performance continues to be the best in 8 years due to the removal of the oldest and least reliable service vehicles. All 7,000 series railcars have now been retrofitted with the chain barriers between the cars. As a result, the announcements alerting customers to arrival of 7,000 series railcars will be phased out. Metro's newest bus garage opened earlier this week at Andrews Federal Center in Maryland. This is a 300,000 square foot facility, includes a heavy repair overhaul shop and holds up to 175 buses. It also meets our sustainability commitments and is designed for Silver LEED certification. And on next Monday, July 1st, with the start of the new fiscal year, we have some service and fare changes going into effect. All Metrorail passes will now come with unlimited Metrobus service at no additional cost. We will also eliminate the Silver Line turnback on the Red Line, doubling rush hour service at Forest Glen, Wheaton, and Clemont stations. The Ability Rides program that we piloted in Maryland will soon expand to D.C. and Virginia. That program has proved to be a win-win for Metro and the Metro Access customers by giving people with special travel needs more flexibility while saving Metro money. And early this week, registration, as you just mentioned, Mr. Chairman, opened for our new after-hours commuter service, which supports late-night workers who travel between midnight and 4 a.m. This one-year pilot program will provide late-night workers with more affordable transportation options as we advance essential maintenance programs. And our procurement office has awarded a contract for design, fabrication, and installation of new fare gates across the entire Metro Rail system. And lastly, and I know this is particularly of interest to you, Mr. Chairman, Moody's recently upgraded the rating of Metro's bonds two levels from A2 to AA3. And really, the bottom line here is in the ratings upgrade, Moody's stated that the stable financial outlook reflects the strong support of our state and local partners. So thank you for that. Finally, let me just wrap up with a platform improvement project update. As you know, it's been fully underway. Most of the demolition is completed at the six stations, and work is progressing to complete reconstruction of the platforms. At the same time, crews are working at the stations to install conduit and wiring for new systems and lighting, sandblast and painting existing structures, and replace canopy skylights, among many other improvements that you'll see in September. And I'm pleased to announce that an important milestone was achieved this week at Braddock Road Station, where the, quote, Braddock hump is gone. The team successfully rotated and lowered down the girders, and the entire platform is at the proper elevation now. When it comes to moving our customers around the shutdown, we have retained as much as 60% of our regular rail ridership on the five free shuttle bus routes. In the first week, shuttle buses were handling between 26,000 and 34,000 boardings per day, larger than any shuttle operation during SafeTrack or even during last summer's Red Line shutdown. So I'd like to thank our customers for their patience and their perseverance as we work through some of the beginning transition days. I'd like to obviously thank our partners for the contribution providing the service that they're doing and being part of the unprecedented communication program. And I also want to thank our employees for providing service on buses and in stations and those working to rebuild the track and the station platforms, particularly in this summer's hot sun and heat. So, Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Riedefeld. Any questions for the general manager? Okay, seeing none. Thank you very much, Mr. Riedefeld. Next item on the agenda is a report by the Finance and Capital Committee, Mr. Dorsey.
Thank you. Today, Mr. Chairman, about an hour ago, staff sought committee approval to amend the FY 2019 operating budget and FY 2019 and FY 20 capital budgets. Additional money will be provided in FY 2019 on the operating side to fund costs associated with the Local 639 collective bargaining agreement, which is on the board's agenda to approve later in this meeting. And for the capital budget, an additional $110 million in FY 2019 and an additional $190 million in FY 2020 will serve to fund changes to project schedules, plans, and scopes, and will allow for accelerated work on some projects. With that, Mr. Chairman, I move approval.
Motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion?
Can I just say one thing? As I mentioned last month, this is the second month in a row where we've done something in committee and then, you know, less than an hour later moved it on to the full board. That's not a practice that I would recommend that we continue in this sense, given everyone eventually made it to the Finance Committee meeting who is in this room now. It seems appropriate to move forward, but next year I hope we all, with the cooperation of staff, make sure that we have better scheduling so that we are not just making the board's work a pro forma exercise.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay, thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. We have four items on the board's consent agenda today. I would like to move approval of the following. A, approval of the sale of excess property at 11507 Georgia Avenue. Staff requests approval for the sale of WMATA excess property 11507 Georgia Avenue in Silver Spring, Montgomery County, on behalf of the Maryland National Capital Park and Planning Commission. B, Teamsters Local 639 Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Staff requests board approval of the collective bargaining agreement with Local 639 of the International Brotherhood Teamsters. Local 639 represents approximately 100 special police officers working throughout Metro. C, identification of Fairfax County for new entrance at Huntington. Staff requests the board approval to authorize the GM CEO or his designee to indemnify Fairfax County in connection with the constructing a new entrance at the Huntington Metro Station. And D, Montgomery County Kids Ride Free Expansion. Staff requests board authorization and delegation to the general manager CEO to enter into a fair buy-down agreement for expansion of the Montgomery County Kids Ride Free Program. I'd like to move approval, and is there a second? Is there any discussion on any of the items on the consent agenda?
Discussion?
Mr. Goldman.
Yes, I just want to explain for the benefit of the other board members and the public at large, item D, the expansion of the Montgomery County Kids Ride Free Program. This is a program that Montgomery County has had for a number of years, allowing school children to ride free on Metro buses during school hours. The council voted earlier in the spring to expand the program so that school children could ride buses after hours, late at night, and through the summer during summer school, which is the reason why it's being brought forward at this particular time, so it can be in place by July 1. The amount of the program is totally paid to WMATA by Montgomery County. Historically, the program has been at a range of about $500,000 a year. The expansion will increase the payment from Montgomery County to WMATA to about $900,000 a year. So it's a win-win for everybody. People ride free, more money for WMATA, and more riders on Metrobus. So it's a great program, and I urge you to give it your blessing with a vote as a consent item this morning. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the report by the Elections Committee. Mr. Crawford.
Thank you, Chair. The committee voted to nominate Paul Smedberg as the board chair and Mr. Michael Goldman as the board second vice chair. We did not nominate a first vice chair at this time. This officer position will be reserved for the district representative, and we'd like to give the district the opportunity to make an appointment to the board before we select that officer. In the interim, we would like to have alternate board member Mr. Tom Bolger serve in that role as a principal DC representative to the board. Mr. Chairman, I move approval of this slate of officers.
Okay, a motion's been made. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. So with that, Mr. Smedberg, congratulations on being the new chair of Metro. Mr. Goldman being the new second vice chair of Metro. And with that, I pass the gavel to Mr. Smedberg, who is now the new chair.
Thank you, Jack. It is truly an honor to have been elected to be the next chair of Metro. And as I take on this new role, I'm focused on the future and would like to highlight a few priorities moving forward. First, ethics reform. And I want to echo the sentiments of Mr. Crawford and Mr. Horner earlier this morning during the ethics committee meeting. These reforms that we have presented for the board's consideration and at one of its future meetings will improve transparency, accountability, and fairness to all parties. And I intend to begin work on these recommendations next month. Second, PREA funding. Our funding work is not finished, and there's a lot at stake in terms of safe and reliable service now and in the future, and we need our federal partners to commit. And finally, today's report from the general manager highlighted the progress Metro has made to date in key customer-focused areas, and I want to ensure that we continue that momentum and build on those accomplishments for our customers. I think we've seen tremendous effort and advancement with capital projects, and also we need to continue to keep an eye on ridership and do everything we can to increase ridership and win back rider confidence. And now, on behalf of the board, I would like to recognize our outgoing board member, Clarence Crawford, for his service to the Metro Board. His term ends this month, and we would like to commend him for his contributions. Clarence? Now, on behalf of the board, I would like to recognize our outgoing board member, Clarence Crawford, for his service to the Metro Board. His term ends this month, and we would like to recognize him for his contributions. Therefore, I move the following commendation. Whereas Clarence Crawford has faithfully represented the state of Maryland on the Metro Board of Directors since April 2018, and whereas Mr. Crawford chaired the Safety and Operations Committee and served on the Executive Committee as the board's first vice chair, and whereas during his tenure as chair of the Safety and Operations Committee, Mr. Crawford has committed to a thorough reporting of Metro safety challenges and its actions to improve safety. And whereas, as Safety and Operations Committee Chair, Mr. Crawford worked to achieve regional consensus and support for Metro's preventative maintenance program, which has allowed Metro to significantly improve its reliability. And whereas in his role as first vice chair, Mr. Crawford was called on to chair the board's Ethics and Elections Committee. And whereas Mr. Crawford acted diligently to ensure that Metro acted on an accountable and as an accountable and reliable partner to the jurisdictions and public that it serves. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the WMATA Board of Directors offers its sincere gratitude to Clarence Crawford for his service and leadership as a member of the WMATA Board of Directors, and be it further resolved that the Metro Board of Directors commends Clarence Crawford for his dedication to providing the best service for WMATA customers. Is there a second? Second by the entire board. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries. Congratulations.
Thank you. Very much.
I'm very deeply humbled by the opportunity to serve and to be a member of the board. I have thoroughly enjoyed my time, and I've enjoyed the opportunity to get to know the members of the board, all of the members. And I am just so excited about the future for WMATA, the incoming board. And I'm also very pleased and very excited about the general manager, the team that he's assembled, and the performance of the transit system, the continued improvement, a safer system, more reliable system, increased ridership. Everything that we had hoped would happen, we're tracking in that right direction. So I'm encouraged. I'm excited about the future. And again, I'm very, very humbled and honored to have had the opportunity. I want to thank the governor for the confidence in nominating me. And again, thank you so very much, everyone. Thank you.
And before I move to the jurisdictional reports, I also would like to recognize our outgoing board member, Jack Evans, for his service to the Metro Board. Notwithstanding the recent events, I feel it's appropriate to recognize the former chair for his 4 years of work on behalf of WMATA. During his tenure as board chair, Jack was instrumental in securing regional dedicated funding for Metro, which will allow Metro to implement sustained long-term plans to address its capital needs. He was also champion for Metro riders, advocating to ensure that Metro balanced its needs to ensure the system's safety with its needs to remain an affordable and available transportation option for this region. Jack, I want to thank you for your service. And present you with this token.
Okay.
If you'd like to say a few words.
Yes, I would.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Paul. And first, I want to congratulate Paul and Michael, new officers here at Metro, and wish you the best as we continue to make Metro the great public transportation system that it is. Let me begin by saying I am an honor to serve on the Metro Board for the last 4.5 years representing the District of Columbia and the last 3.5 years as the chair of the board. I want to begin by thanking the employees of Metro. And I see a number of people in the room, members of the union, other employees here who have carried this organization for the last 4.5 years. These have been a very, very difficult time for Metro. When I joined the board, in January of 2015, as you remember, and I remember well, the first meeting we had enormous financial problems, and that was on a Thursday the following week. Carol Glover, a grandmother my age, died on the floor of a Metro car. That's how bad the system was at that time. Our employees, and I'm taking this opportunity again to thank you for carrying us through these difficult times to today, where Metro is really, really on the upswing. So I'd like to give you all a big round of applause. I also want to thank the staff of Metro, who over the course of the last 4.5 years have been terrific. The staff in this building who have, again, carried the organization through difficult times and made it really function as a very efficient organization. So thank you, the staff of Metro. General Manager Paul Wiedefeld, I want to thank you. You came on board right before I became chairman, I believe, in November. And, Paul, you have done an excellent job making some very difficult decisions and leading this organization, again, from an organization that was a bit chaotic to today, where it is a well-run organization that is making enormous progress. So, Paul, thank you very much. And finally, my fellow board members. All of us together have really accomplished an enormous amount, and I want to list some of those accomplishments because sometimes things get lost in the translation. Remembering where we were and where we are today, and if any of you are maybe dating myself or watch David Letterman, he always had his top 10. Well, here's the top 10 accomplishments of Metro, not in any particular order. That I believe that the highlights of over the last 4.5 years. As I mentioned, hiring General Manager Paul Wiedefeld, one of the best decisions we've ever made, and he has really taken this organization and made it the great organization again that it is today. Hiring our new Inspector General, Mr. Charrington, again, a really, people don't remember the long and involved process we went through. And we're able to bring on board one of the top inspector generals in the country. We restructured the board and restructured the committees. Remember, we had a much larger board, 16 members and 7 or 8 committees, and an organization that seemed unwieldy at the time. Where today, with a smaller board, 3 committees, we are a much more efficient organization that really gives the ability of this organization to move forward quickly. We balanced our budget. I mean, it seems like a kind of an odd thing, but back in the day, the budget was balanced, but was it really? There was a lot of confusion in our budgeting process. I remember, as I mentioned, my CFO told me on my first meeting, don't vote on anything because we're not sure what's happening. Today, those problems are a distant memory. And along with that, a clean and on-time audit. Remember, again, back in 2015 when I arrived, the audit, I think that the audit the year before was 9 months late, and the audit in the current year was 3 months late. We don't have those problems anymore. We have a great outside accountants, and our audit has been a clean audit and an on-time audit for the last 3 years. We upgraded, as Paul mentioned, WMATA's bond rating. I'm a bond rating guy. At the District of Columbia, as the finance chair, I've seen the district rise from a B to a AAA status, and now that was great news that we were upgraded last week in our bond rating. Again, a reflection of how our finances have changed from where they were to where they are today. A new building. When I was on the board back in the 90s, we were talking about a new building. We talked about a new building forever. Well, we've accomplished that. We have bought a piece of property. We are renovating that. We will be moving out of the Jackson Green building, not selling it, leasing it to someone else, but into a new WMATA headquarters in the District of Columbia that will really serve Metro well. The bus study. Again, we've talked about the buses forever. And finally, we have a comprehensive bus study that is looking at all the bus routes throughout the metropolitan region that will be coming back. And we will first finally have a mechanism to address how can we run an efficient bus service that serves the needs of all of our residents throughout the metropolitan area. The last two are the most important, though. Paul Smedberg mentioned it, dedicated funding. Dedicated funding had been talked about since Metro was started, over 40 years ago. And really, 3 years ago, there was no chance. No chance. I was told by everybody we could never get dedicated funding. We could never get the three jurisdictions to agree. And yet we did. And I want to thank this whole board and Paul Wiedefeld and everyone in the region who at some point finally pulled together and accomplished the impossible. Dedicated funding for Metro. And in the bond rating upgrade, they highlighted the fact that dedicated funding will now put this organization in a really firm footing to correct the 15 years of neglect that allowed this organization and our Metro system to fall into the disrepair that it had. Dedicated funding is and was our greatest accomplishment. And for the board members here, you will always look back. I was a member of that board, all eight of us here. I was a member of that board and the alternates, all 16 of us, that achieved dedicated funding. And finally, and most important, we have created a safe and reliable system. 4.5 years ago, I don't know that people would have said that. But today, we have a safe system for all of our riders and a reliable system for all of our riders. And that, I think, is our greatest accomplishment over the last 4.5 years. You know, when I left the Metro board back in 1999, I left Metro at a time when it was in great shape. And I felt that way. I felt when I walked out the door, Metro was in good shape and was proud of the accomplishments that we had made in the 1990s. As I leave today, 20 years later, again, after my second stint on Metro, I believe firmly that I am leaving Metro in a better situation than I found it. And many times in life, I guess that's the best you can hope for. You leave something better than you found it. And I feel very, very positive today about the accomplishments of Metro and the future of Metro. We are on our way, and it is a better organization today than when I found it. And I'll leave you with this. You've heard me say this many times across the region as we've talked about many issues regarding Metro. Even with all the accomplishments that we have made, this is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end. Perhaps it is the end of the beginning. Thank you very much. God bless Metro.
Thank you, Jack. Is there anything else from the district?
No report from the district. Okay.
Mr. Crawford from WSTC.
Just want to mention that our new chair will be Mr. Goldman.
And actually, there is a report from the WSTC. As chair of WSTC on behalf of members of the Washington Suburban Transit Commission and the state of Maryland, I want to thank Mr. Crawford for his service over the last year and a half as a principal Metro board member, as the resolution that we've approved earlier in the session relates. Clarence was stuck with two unenviable tasks, one dealing with the hour of service issue and the other dealing with an ethics issue. And he has performed well in handling both those assignments as first vice chair and chair of the Safety and Operations Committee over the last year and a half. Mr. Crawford is not leaving because he's being forced out. His departure is a function of Maryland law,
in which statute that was passed at the same time of the dedicated funding legislation requires that when a vacancy occurs, that the that member of the board be replaced by the Maryland Secretary of Transportation. And so with the termination of Mr. Crawford's term, picking up the term of another member on June 30th, effective July 1, the Secretary of Transportation becomes my colleague on the Metro Board. But the governor has seen fit to find another role, another position for Clarence in the education sphere. So he's going back to school, and he will earn another degree to add to his resume. Good luck, Clarence. That completes the WSTC report. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Goldman. Mr. Dorsey, I don't think we have anything from NBTC, do we? No. Federal government, Mr. Horner. All right. With that, in accordance with the bylaws, I, Paul Smedberg, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsections B, litigation, investigations, and other legal matters requiring the provision of legal advice or consultation with counsel and staff members, and C, personnel or labor issues, including discussions of labor contracts and labor negotiations, consideration or interviews of candidates for employment, and the assignment, appointment, promotion, performance, demotion, or resignation of individuals. Is there a second? Second by Mr. Dorsey. All in favor? Any opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you very much. We're adjourned. Okay.